Okay. We begin continuing with the topics that the Sefer that I've been discussing the past 2 weeks, which is the Sefer called Tzimtzus HaNefesh. The Tzimtzus HaNefesh, we mentioned already the past 2 weeks, is this early Sefer, which is full of all kinds of things, interesting, some related to halacha, some related to minig, some stories, etc., etc. And the past 2 weeks I've spent time going through various minhagim and going tangents about those various minhagim. And also some of the stories that I brought down, we mentioned them and we went through them. Continuing with this, I hope to finish either this week or next week, to finish this, this Sefer. I mean, not the Sefer, the points that I want to bring out from the Sefer. Another, today's topic, for beginners, is the topic of the Asaras HaShvatim. The Sefer begins, the Tzimtzus HaNefesh talks about that, you know, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we chased out of our land, all different things happened, and he mentioned this thing that there was first a Shvatim, and he also mentioned the Sambatyon. We don't know, and he writes a very interesting lashon. Ki ein anu yodim shirish amiti shalahem. We don't know the truth about them. Hachachem nasha chaker harav ledaver. Amadina shirishim shama asaris hashvatim. And he writes that the Chacham Menashe, we'll see who he's referring to, spent a lot of time to figure out where are the lost tribes, and Aval Ein Itan Yedei Arashay Hashem Izbarchi Kavitz Guloi Seinu Vizman Sheni Yireim VeChareidim. But we'll only know when Hashem Izbarach decides in the Geula and we'll see. Of course, this is a very big topic. It could take hours and hours to discuss all the essence of it. It's all different parts of the topic. Today I would like to try to deal with a few of the interesting points, some of the interesting points based on some interesting sources, some known, some not known, about this topic. To begin with the Gemara. Now there's two aspects to this topic. One is something called the Sambatyon. And then there's another aspect is that there's something known as Asaras HaShvatim. There's two mysteries. Mystery number one is, where is the Sambatyon? Mystery number two is, where are the Asaras HaShvatim? Now, of course, as with everything, the starting point of this discussion is Chazal. Again, we're not going to discuss at all these sources in Chazal about these topics, as there are many. That is where we see the word Sambatyon mentioned, that there was something about Sambatyon, and this Sambatyon is tied to Shabbos, and Rashi throws in, Nar Sambatyon Yechiyach. Rashi says, Nar Echod Shal Avonim, V'chol Yimayis HaShabbos Shreitit V'hailuch, U'v'yoyim HaShabbos Shreitit V'nach. Some type of river that has stones. The whole week, so on Shabbos it stops. The whole week it seems that it spits out stones. I mean, that's the way it's understood. Now, this is all the Gemara. All the Gemara says. The Gemara only says Nar Sambatyon Yechiyach when it's talking about Shabbos. It does not say anything about what the Sambatyon is. Rashi is the one who tells us. Of course, the question is where Rashi got this from. So it seems he got it from Chazal, possibly, or maybe from other places. Now, in this Gemara, there is no connection between the 10 Asaras HaShvatim and the Sambatyon. Again, this is Sanhedrin, Samachai, and Mabes. Later on in Sanhedrin, there's a discussion about the Asaras HaShvatim, and there's a Mishnah, actually. Mishnah says on the Kuf Yud Amid Beis, Asaras HaShvatim, this is the Shita of the Kippah. To the extent that the Gemara brings down the Braisa, also from Rabbi Kiva, that Ein Lam Chilek Lelam Haba, whereas Rabbi Lezer says that no, that they will be Niga, that they will come back at a certain point in time, in the times of Mashiach. Now, all the variant Mitzchayis and versions of the text is beyond the scope of this discussion, but on a simple level, this is what it says. So there's a machlokes over here. Rabbi Kiva says that they're not coming back. Now, if that will be the case, according to Rabbi Kiva, the tonight's discussion will be over if we will go according to Rabbi Kiva, which, according to some people, we really are supposed to go according to Rabbi Kiva. As I mentioned, we're not going to go through all the aspects of this discussion. If someone wants to see a brief but nice overview of this topic, with the various Rishonim that deal with it. A sefer was put out by Meister Cook pretty recently called Asaras HaShvatim, and in the sefer he has a nice overview of some of the Chazal, the Midrashim, the Rishalmis. Deal with this. Today, I mentioned just one point over here on this, and that is the Rambam in Perish Mishnayis. So in Rambam and Perish Mishnayis, a very interesting thing. This Rambam is for many other topics. It seems the Rambam in Perish Mishnayis said in other places, and we'll see a little bit about it. Question is, we have Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer. They both have machlokes. Now, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin that the Asaras HaShvatim are coming back or not? So, Rambam in Perish Mishnayis says a klal. Far zechati loch pa'amim rabbis. I am telling you this following rule that I told you many times about. Shekol machlokes sheyia bein hachachamim. All machlokes sheyini bali dey maisa el shehu. Emunas davar bilvad. It's telling if it's about if something happened. Ein tzal lutzik halacha ke'echam mehem. We don't pass like one of them. Meniska zeh in yini kulim b'zul mesechta. Lefi shekol mezikar and then he goes on to say, why is this even mentioned in this mesechta? Sanhedrin, why is this discussion about Asaras HaShvatim even mentioned in this mission? But what it's clearly he's saying that there, in Agada, at least this is the way people understand it, I believe, that in Agada there's no such thing as Psak Halacha. There's Rabbi Kiva, there's Rabbi Lezer. Someone holds like Rabbi Kiva, he's fine. Someone holds like Rabbi Lezer, he's fine. The ramifications of this Rambam could be great, but we're not going to go into it at all. Just to mention one other person who says it. He says it, I would assume, I'm pretty sure he's basing it on the Rambam. He says it more clearly. He says as follows. I mean, not more clearly, he just says it also. He's talking about, he says also, there's a rule, loy nemar aklal halacha kiplein, by Agad. Who is this person? This person is Zev Wolf Baskowitz. Zev Wolf Baskowitz was the son of the Masa Shekel. Masa Shekel is extremely famous for being the a happy light parish on the Magen Avraham. The incredible parish, it goes word for word of the Magen Avraham, explaining as is well known, the Magen Avraham wrote very, very shorthand, and every single word, even letter, in the Magen Avraham is very important. Many Sfarim were written on the Magen Avraham. The Masa Shekel wrote perhaps the most famous one. It is incorporated in most editions of Shulchan Aruch right underneath. And right away, when one has difficulty understanding the Magen Avraham, you turn to the Masa Shekel. Masa Shekel is pretty famous. He had a son that's not that famous, who is known, his name was Zev Wolf Baskowitz. Zev Wolf Baskowitz wrote work on the Rambam. In manuscript, it actually exists today. It's a massive work. Each Rambam, every halacha, sometimes could have pages and pages of discussions. It's incredible, his ideas in Kala Tera Kula, in everything, how he discusses everything somehow in the Rambam. He doesn't see, there's nothing that he misses. It's a fascinating work, but it's very not known. Most of it is not has not been printed, unfortunately, that had looking for sponsors. But what was printed from the manuscripts are on Mada, Hava, and I believe all of Zmanim. And he also wrote a drush sefer. He wrote a sefer on Idias. Both the Chassam Sefer and Rabbi Akiva, they both write about him in glowing terms. He was, his sefer on drush, Maimer Esther, is just one beautiful sefer. Simply beautiful. Every drasha that he says is man is hard to describe, and but it's a beautiful job. It's a beautiful sefer. It was recently reprinted. Beautiful edition. He also wrote a sefer on the Rabbah Bar Bachana Gemaras, which was reprinted a few months ago, in time for Dafyani learning the Gemaras of Rabbah Bar Bachana, along with some other Purushim on the Gemaras of Rabbah Bar Bachana. Then the Seder Mishnah, some of the volumes are actually available in decent, in nice print, some are not. Now this is the Volbaskowitz, he talks about when there's a famous Gemara in Brachas. Tzadikim and Bali Tshuva, who's better? Because the Gemara, it seems in one, the Gemara seems to hold that Makom Shabbali Tshuva Oimdim in Tzadikim Gemur Miyachal Amoi. So it sounds like that Bali Tshuva are greater, and Achlikas in the Gemara, if this is true. Now, this is true. So who do you pass him with? So again, here says the Seder Mishnah, it says that nearly in his date, the Rabbeinu Sfila, he's going to explain the Rambam. The Kohani Klod Psaki Alokos Leinemru Elo Bechelik Hadinim Imaisa Mitzvah Sashay Yasa Adam. Only things that you have to do. Ava Bemili De Agalita Vesnai Lahani Klali Ukein Takas Rabbeinu Kamapamim Bepurshim Limshnais. And the Rambam himself says this in Pershim Shnais. The reason why the Seder Mishnah is saying it is because it seems like a Mishnah has a whole problem on the Rambam's Shita on the topic of Makam Shabali Tshuva Oindim Ein Tzadikim Gemur Oindim, which is beyond our discussion right now. He goes further that every person has the right. Basically, whichever opinion you like better, makes more sense to you, you can deal with, but adapt, so to speak. Okay, now, so I guess we'll be going with this Parashat Rishonim of Rambam, when we, which is basically what seems to have happened in this discussion, is that we, not that we pass him, but most people, as far as they know, there is such a thing that the Sar Shvatim will come back, and thus there was the quest for thousands of years, where are this Asar Shvatim, which some of the opinions is what we will discuss tonight. Thanks to the Rambam, we have what to say tonight. Now, okay, there's a story of one of the first sources of something to do with the Aseret Shvatim started in around 883, the year 883. Someone calling himself Eldad Hadani appeared. He appeared somewhere in, I believe it was somewhere in North Africa, and he said that I'm from the lost Shvatim. Now, we happen to have, this is one of the, this, I guess, the first case of someone claiming to be from the Aseret Shvatim. We have a lot of evidence, we have a lot of material to deal with in order to see what the story is about this, if this person was a fraud or if he was real. What I mean to say is that we have, stop. The text of the questions that the people, the community that he arrived in, they wrote to the Ga'inim, the Gadol Hadar at that time was Reb Tzemach, unclear which Reb Tzemach, Reb Tzemach Ga'in, asking him, and we'll see what they were asking in a second, what they should do about this Elder Adani, should they believe him. We have, furthermore, we have his Rav Tzamach's answer. We also have a sefer that this Elder Adani brought with him. We have it in many editions, as we'll see. Let's first begin with like this. The question that they asked was as follows. This guy appears out of nowhere. He claimed he was from Shevet Dan. And he tells us that this poor Shvatim, not 10, where he comes from, and they still have Mises, the four Mises that we lost. We don't punish the four deaths of Mises Bezdin after the Beis HaMikdash, but they do. He writes that they have Chumash, they do not have Megillas Esther, because they were in Remet Neis. And their Talmud that they have, which he brought some of that Talmud, I believe it is, and we'll see more about this. There's no names of Chachamim. There's no Hanayim Amarayim like we have. Rather, it's Amar Yeshua Mipi Moshe Agvur. He also described their, he claimed that they're big warriors. They fight a lot. There's a lot of different battles that they're very involved with. But they're fighting a lot, but they're very, very careful not to fight on Shabbos. Another thing is that they speak to some form of a language of Lashon HaKodesh. Does not understand Arabic. All this, what I'm reading, is parts from the question that they posed to the Gadol HaDor about him. Now, one of their biggest problems, they mentioned it, okay, one of their biggest problems was that things that he told them was in contradiction to what we knew, what we paskin, so they were also curious to know, how do we look at the halachas that he's saying? And they're in contradiction to what we are. And also he mentioned, here is one of the earliest connections between the Sambatyon and the Aseres HaShvatim, because he writes how that there's a river, and this river rests on Shabbos, and it's called Sambatyon, and it's over Shabbos. They're not able to. The only time it stops is over Shabbos, and because it stops over Shabbos, they don't go out of the, I guess the tchum, I'm not sure, but it's pretty strange. Which is a question that people deal with: is how did he get out exactly? If there's a problem, that's why they're not coming out anyway. But bottom line is that in short, the questions were: what do we do about this guy? Is he a fraud, perhaps? Now, it seems that the Rav Tzamach Goyim did not meet Elder Adon. He had the evidence based on probably the Reish HaKehila of Kiran, which is where he arrived. After they had a whole long discussion with Elder Adani, they sat down, they set up all the problems that they had about Elder Adani, wrote it to the Gadol HaDor, and they said, what are we supposed to do? He answered them as follows. That it seems that some of the things that you're telling me from the halachas are in contradiction, but that shouldn't be the biggest problem. The most important point is that the Goyim said, it makes sense that there is truth, possibly, to Aseres HaShvatim, so it could be that this guy is not a fraud. That's the first most important point. But they did not think he's a fraud. Now, what does it mean? If he's not a fraud, what that means is that the Ga'inim also were going with, not like Rabbi Akiva. this that he talks about the Sambatim. They said also we have sources that there is such a thing as the Sambatim, and it makes sense there is some type of connection between the Aseres HaShvatim and the Sambatim. But the biggest problem was that they were bothered is that there's a lot of difference in the halachas. He says, no, it could be that, first of all, they didn't have the whole chazal, they didn't have the whole mishnayis that we have with everything. So therefore, it's very possible there's going to be a lot of differences. And they made a very interesting, just to quote one interesting thing, the Al Tatamu don't have a problem, al shiva filuf ashishmatim api elder, that defying different halachas and stuff, by elder, that's different than us. So, Chachmei Bavel, the Chachmei Yisrael, showing in Mishnah Chaspatikin Rav, we see that even on what we have, Bavli than Yerushalmi, there could be in tremendous differences. We can find that Bavli says one thing, Yerushalmi says another thing. So he says, don't get so nervous about it. So in short, the point is that the Einim believed, and they said, you don't have a problem. Now, the question is going to be, which we'll see shortly, what about, as I mentioned, he brought with him some halachic text. Now do we pass them like those halachic texts or not? That we'll deal with in shortly. So this is what the first thing that we're seeing over here is that the question that they asked the Gadol Hadar and what he told them. So as far as we know at this point, the earliest source, which is document, not sure from when this, what the earliest how early back we have this original document, but we have the Ritzamach, we have. That's what Ritzamach is going to say. Now, later on, we have Rav Nissen Goyen. Now, this is an interesting thing. Rav Nissen Goyen wrote a work called Megillah Starim. Megillah Starim, the generation was lost. No idea where it is. Recently, in the past bunch of years, they've discovered different fragments. Parts have been printed. But this tshuva, which is really from this Nissen, was printed in a collection of stuff from Rabbi Avram ben Haramba. So at certain times when this discussion is quoted, it's quoted that Rabbi Avram ben Haramba has a tshuva on the topic. And as Reuven Margolis already points out, it's really Rabbi Nissen Goyen. We now have some of the fragments that we know that when this Goyen spoke about it in this sefer, that this is where this is coming from. Now, the question that was posed from this Goyen was, "V'sha'alta ala inyan hanafutz be'uma mi seifrei hashvatim shein nimtzam be'midbar him zochur azal ze'olot." It was asked that there's a famous thing going around that is shvatim, they're in the midbar. What did Chazal say about this? Now you have to understand, the question that was being posed to the Goyim, they didn't have like a guy could go and open up his, go to the local library, pull out his Gemara, and open up Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud, Amadez, and see what the Gemara says, and the Mishnah is, and then open up Rashim. Didn't have it. This is all manuscript time, when there weren't too many Gemaras necessarily even floating around in the first place. It's a whole different discussion. This is in the time of the Goyim. So Rav Nissen Goyen, so they used to ask questions to the Goyen, and so Rav Nissen Goyen answered, and he says that yes, we find, and he brings a Bracious Rabbah, and this Bracious Rabbah does make a connection between Aseres HaShvatim and the Sambatim. Now, interestingly enough, he writes, what is the biggest raya that the story of Aseres HaShvatim is true? He writes, the Sipur Hadani ve'igris asher loi, the Shvitas Chulun asher nishmara ve'nimtzor mimenu, gam ha'diburim ha'nishmara. is from Bishmoy, the Gamarai, Yoyis Nechayna Binyan Zeh. The proof that Aser Zeratan is true is this whole discussion of Reb Tzemach. So we see that later on, the Reb Tzemach, still in the period of the Goyim, they were very accepting of this, of the Adoni, that it's completely true. Okay, now Ruben Margol, this tshuva is printed in the Ruben Margol's edition of a collection of stuff about Rav Avraham and Rambam and some svarim of Rav Avraham and Rambam, and this is on page Kuf Chav Vav Kuf Chav Zayin. And on the footnote over there, he brings down from a Ksav Yad of Rav Avraham Yigal, who brings down a letter that he saw that was miyuchas to the Rambam. Interesting, which we saw that the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos was not paskening. Here he writes, "Hashe sha'altem al inyan hashvatim du lechem shezeh inyan amiti u'diyasam anu mechakim sharei u'diyasam anu mechakim awaiting for them sharei achrei arichoshe v'nar goizim v'nar sabbatim genuzim." Now, even so, it seems that the Rambam also believed in this, that there's a connection between the Seres HaShvatim and the sabbatim, and that's true. But Elder Adani, we're not sure what the Rambam held about that. But we already see that, at least in the Ga'inim, that they held it. Now, as far as Rishonim, so just to mention, and that's what I have on the sheet over here, we could see as follows. The Smag in the Sefer brings down from a Sholtis. That's something in Hilchos Shkita. That is the second quote on this page. It says, "B'shultus of it," and it says, "V'chem mefarash b'ksav the Reb Elder Hadani." Now, before we get into this, let's just give a drop of background. There is the Sefer of Elder Hadani was printed incredible amounts of time, partially and probably because of this fascination that Jews had with the lost tribes and the mystery of it. This was one of the first documents. The second of all is that in the story, there's many, many versions and stuff was constantly being added on. There's different fascinating things of the battles that were going on, what the battles that they fought, and what he did, and how he came, and how he survived, how he went through the Sambatian, and the story of the Sambatian. This is things that were fascinating for Jews, and therefore it was printed. It was printed many editions, over 50 manuscripts, as many editions. Now, many of the editions were collected in about 1891 by Avram Eckstein, and he printed in a critical edition, full of excellent footnotes, analyzing the Sefer, and we're going to see what he exactly did. He used it. About 16 different versions, some were from manuscript. A little later, in 1908, there was an English edition put out, which is available on the amazing Google Books, from a fellow Schlesinger. It's called The Ritual of Elder Hadani. And I believe a little after that, another edition. These were also based on editions that, manuscript fragments and stuff that did not have access to. They were incorporated in the later edition of the Elder Hadani put out by, after 1891, the Sefer Elder Hadani of Avraham Epstein is pretty rare. And around 1950, Meiser of Cook, the great Fushin hunting svarim Meiser of Cook, headed by at that time Fishman Maimon, who actually knew Avraham Epstein personally, had in a series of, he had what it was called the Chaim Michal collection, which was a collection of all different books. Some of them were of different famous chaikrim, where he gathered sometimes he gathered some of them were based on manuscripts that he had, some were from that they printed, some were newspaper articles, and he had different people work on them. For example, Rav Matisseo Strashen wrote a lot, but he didn't really print too much in Svarim. He wrote one parish on the Medrash that was printed, but other than that, he just wrote in all over in the various newspapers. Now, all that has not been printed, but what happened was, he went ahead, and he, gathered a lot of the pieces from different places, and it's called Mivchar Ksavim of Ramatzes Oshrash. And that's one volume from this Chaim Michal collection school. Another one was the two volumes, which was Kisvei of Avraham Epstein, where they gathered many, many of the writings of Avraham Epstein scattered all over into two volumes. The first volume is mostly Elder Adani. It's updated from 1891. It was put together by Avram Hogelman, and in the back he has extensive notes, and he has a bibliography of all the different editions of Elder Adani that he wasn't aware of, but there's a total of 16 that he dealt with, and he wrote unbelievable footnotes. He was knowledge in all areas. Chayra, Sefer Chazal, and Sefer Mahkar, Jewish history, non-Jewish history, language, everything comes to play in this work. Some of it we'll see soon. And it's incredible to see what he does in trying to figure out about this work. Now, the Sefer, so as I mentioned, it was a very popular Sefer, and there's many different stories that were added on over the years about the different medicine. But there's one section that was pretty much did not change. That was the Halachas. These are the Halachas, which is mostly in Hilchos Shechita. It's about 36 Halachas. With Amar Rabbeinu Yeshua Mipi Moshe Mipi Agvur. Now these halachas, so the question is as follows. These halachas, which we know the Goyim had, how did the Rishonim deal with these halachas? So as I mentioned over here, you smile. I refer you to the source sheet on the computer. First, because it's Rabbi Elder Hadani, it's clear he sounds like he is going with that he passed like the Sefer Elder Hadani. So again, here we have much after the Goyim period, a Rishon paskening like this. Yeah. Let's see, if you scroll towards the bottom. Again, we have the Chidushi HaRajba, the Rajba says, B'hilchos der Elder Hadani Sheikhmer B'shviris Etzem, Noin Esfar Advarv. He doesn't go like it, but at least he's bringing it down. He's being Mesiachas with it. He's mentioning it as a possibility. Same thing, Sefer Eitr. Shamati, Sherab Elder Adani Hechmir, and then he says, V'loi Mestaber, but it's brought down. Okay. Now, what could have happened is the Rajba or the Eitr, they both could have said, you know, it's a forgery. No, so we see that they held it something. It's a valuable document. It's worth something. Do we pass him like it? Not necessarily. Does it mean that all 36 of the halachas they disagree? I don't believe. So, and we'll see, now we'll see about it differently. Before we begin with what the one of the cases is, Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is famous for always having different shitas than not. You know, not the run of the mill shita. Over here, he talks about, and he says, "Ashakasa b'divrei hayamim de Moshe al tabe." This is talking about Moshe. Let's start from the beginning. It says, I bring that over here in Shemais Parag Beis. It says, "Vatelik ki amar Moshe v'zayis tzipayra hi ha'isha akushis asher amar." But Ashakasa b'divrei hayamim de Moshe al tabe. Do not believe what it says, and there's a sefer called Divrei Yamim de Moshe. We don't have it today, but there was such a thing. Kol armavach, kol sefer shelo'i kasvun avim oichachamim mipi hakabbalah in the smichala. Any sefer, and we do not have early sources from them, do not rely on them. Af keish by dvarim shemachishim hadas hanachinu. Kol sefer zruva vel the gam sefer elder hadani v'adayim lehem. We don't believe the sefer. Plain and simple. So here he is not buying into, and it could be very simple. He saw the evidence. Rav Tzemach never met the guy. He's not denying that there could be a story of Aseres HaShvatim. We're not going that far out. But to say
that.
It's true. It could be that he, Ibn Ezra holds the story says Shesh Hatem is a true story and they exist and everything. But the story of Elder Haddani, that could be an outright fake forgery. That is Ibn Ezra's opinion on the matter. Now, in Masechtas Chulin, right away in the first Taisis talks about a kol sheichtem. And the question is, what about women? Says Taisis, kasaf behilchas Eretz Yisrael, the nashim lo yishkatu. Why not? Vitnei shadaitan talis. Vir daitan talis. There, I'll leave the translation up to your imagination. But women do not belong to shechtem. The question is, do we ask it like this? Now this is brought down also in the Mordechai, in the beginning of Chulin. And other Rishonim also bring it down. However, in certain places in Chumras ba'alma she'yoyber oisah chacham shekasa tuchas Eretz Yisrael. These are Chumras. We don't paskin like this. Hold on just a second. Okay. So the question is, what is this Hilchos Eretz Yisrael that Taisus is talking about? So, there was a famous person, there was a person named Yaakov Reifman. Yaakov Reifman he was a prolific writer, also, again, mostly in newspapers. He did not really print that many works. Recently, some of them are up on Hebrew Books, some of them are up on Google Books. One of the svarim that he started to write was called Kol Mevaser. It was supposed to be an in-depth work on the Hilchos Gedolos, and also on Elder Haddani, and unfortunately, we did not really get too much from it. He did not print. It could be the manuscript actually does exist from it, as there are many manuscripts of his in the Hebrew University's library. Manuscript room. He says, what is this Hilchos Eretz Yisrael? He says it's really, it's not direct Rashi Tavis interpretation. Famous Tayyitat Hus story. Blame it on the Zetzer, the printer. And it's supposed to say, Ki Amar Yeshua. As this is found where? In the Halachas of Elder Haddani. This he's the first person to say it, I believe. It's so brought down that Gretz followed also says it. Reuven Margolis brings it down in his Tshuvas Mishnayim, in the footnotes, and the Radal, with Kadmas Hazayar, also talks about the drop about this, and he says, he writes as follows, V'chein b'hokal shkita shal elder haddani. Talking about the Hilchos Shkita of Elder Haddani, and he writes in parentheses, Shehu Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, Shezkira Tais, Vishar Perushim Reish Chulin. So he is. So that's what at least Dal, I guess, is the earliest source. He is saying that they are one and the same. Now, on this page I bring on this also on the internet right now on the board is a Katam of Farah that talks that when he says Nashim are kosher to Shecht, and Kasav Nami Haram. And Nashim that are done. Maybe they were weak. That's why Seif Eldadami said what he said, that they should not check.
Okay.
Now, first of all, there's a fellow, Micha Perry, who is working a lot on, he wrote a doctorate which he deals a lot with Eldar Adani, he's also working on some articles on the topic, and he says that there's a little problem over here to say this idea that Reichman, to say that it's a printing mistake, and when it's a Holocaust Eretz Yisrael, it's talking about, it really means to say Amar Yeshua. Why? Because he says, the way all these halachas begin, is Omer Rabbeinu Yeshua ben Nun mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the case. How in the world do you get this abbreviation? It's not, if it said Omer Yeshua, that would be fine, but it says Omer Rabbeinu Yeshua ben Nun, and that is how it's in all the editions of the halacha, so it says Amar Rabbeinu Yeshua. So the printing mistake, Aleph Yud, which is what Reichman's suggesting, that it's really supposed to say Amar Yeshua, Amar Rabbeinu Yeshua, that's problem number one that he points out. Problem number two, Yaakov Spiegel, in his book, Amudim Atov Sefer Evri, Volume 2, he points out a different problem, that there's a rule in abbreviation that they didn't abbreviate when it's very complicated. Aleph Yud, and then to figure out that it means Amar Yeshua, that's not, abbreviations were standard things that people would be able to abbreviation. And that was the point. It just was, you say, it wasn't, they weren't trying to hide anything with an abbreviation. They just were just trying, it was an obvious word that people would know when they're reading the text, and they would. Now, by looking at the text, they saved, one of the reasons why they did it was to save money. Even in the time of printing, this was so. Just to mention, there's a story, two things about that. One is that the Sefer Menchas Chinuch, he didn't have a lot of money. What happened was he printed printed with abbreviations to save money. The problem was that the Menchas Chinuch, until very recently, one of the biggest challenges, before he could even understand what the Menchas Chinuch was saying, was to, one had to figure out what the words were, because he did use sophisticated abbreviations, not like Yaakov Spiegel is referring to in the times of in the way back in the times of Rishonim and manuscripts, that they did not do such a thing. But in the Menchas Chinuch's time, it's clear that he used abbreviations and no one could understand. Or maybe he thought people could understand it, but he just didn't. But the bottom line is that they were using abbreviations that were not easy. Another person who we find also abbreviates a lot is Rabbi Sefer Stern. There's a whole legend about that that Shai Agnon brings down in his Sefer Vesipur, which was that he was engaged to Mar Tzvigim Polyafi. Now, he really wanted to have someone support him so he could sit and learn. Mar Tzvigim Polyafi said, yeah, don't worry about it. And the truth is, Mar Tzvigim Polyafi had money. After his story, the legend has it that Firestone was very poor. He was very upset about it, but he wanted to be able to print his work. So it seems, I think, what Gimple said, he'll take care of printing it. So he had to print it, and had to cut out a lot of the pages. So how did he do that? By using abbreviations. So here, again, was also a case of someone using abbreviations that were not standard. Anyways, that's problem number two, why it's not so clear to place it first. Also, the third thing is that there's Arzaru over here. Not sure if this is a point, but possible. the Arzerua, when he says Mikan Raya, the late time length Mashkasa Elder Hadar. Then he goes on, and he says, the Khainim to Kasa Bilfatar Tisrol, the Nasham Laishkatu Mesha Daitan Kawas. Sounds like that he held that there was two different things. He should have just said, what do you mean? Khainim to Kasa Bilfatar Tisrol is Elder Hadani, safer. Sounds like, no. Who understood that there's something Hilchot Eretz Yisrael? Maybe there is a similarity between Elder Adoni and Hilchot Eretz Yisrael. That's not the point. But it's not. But Yaakov Reichman is saying that Hilchot Eretz Yisrael is Elder Adoni. From the Arzarua, it sounds like it's not. Okay. That is another point on the matter. But the point is that whatever, even if we see that a lot of these are Rishonim over here, and there's more also, they're at least dealing with it as a real text. No one's saying, forgery, goodbye, I don't care what you have to say. Now, I started mentioning earlier about this that Avram Epstein and the other doctorates, other things, this other work from 1908, available in Google Books, and this doctor from Micha Perry, and Rabbi Honig, for helping me with some of these tracking. Now, let's just deal a little bit about what Epstein. Epstein wrote an extensive, excellent introduction to the work. After printing all the editions, he went and he analyzed the work. Analyzing the stories, the sources, possible. And he was trying to figure out, based on what he had in front of him, now this is 1891, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years later. We're talking actually not hundreds of years. Over 1,000 years later, he's working on a text that's from 1,000 years before, and he's trying to figure out if he could see if it's fake or not. He says that it's after doing an in-depth study, first he said like this, to study the stories, all the different stories, that's not worth anything, because those kept on being added on. I mentioned it was very popular work, and the reason why it's very popular is because this legend was, stuff got added on. That didn't interest him, and he analyzed the stuff from them, but that wouldn't be able to prove if it's a fake or not, because in order to prove it's a fake or not, we have to have as close to the original document that Elder Hadani wrote or brought with him. Now, he pointed out, very interesting, that the document that was closer probably was the halachas, because no one cared about the halachas as much. I'm not even sure if the halachas were printed every single time. Because everyone was interested in the story. No one cared about Hilchos Shechita, all the different halachas. So that is what he analyzed very carefully, and he says he comes to the conclusion that he is not a fake. However, he feels that he did know some Arabic. Again, as I mentioned, Epstein was an expert in languages. He spent time figuring out certain words and different things. Now, that's discussed beyond my... not familiar with this, but there are articles also trying to figure out the language of... to try to figure out where he came from. It seems that at the end of the day, Epstein concludes that he came from somewhere in South Africa, and he writes that he possibly was the what we know as the Ethiopian Jews. Why he wanted to come visit, Epstein says, just like the Jews wanted to find out about their Sarsa Shvatim, the people on our side of Sambati wanted to always find out about it, so maybe he was fascinated. I know this, but as I mentioned, according to the story with the Sambatian, how did he get over? I'm not sure. Now, one of the points that in the discussion is that Epstein shows that there's a very interesting comparison to the Sefer Bahag, which is also very early Gaonic text. Now, he was an expert in Bahag, Epstein. So he said that Bahag got it from Elder Adani. However, recent scholarship on the topic from the expert on these discussions, the Onik period, Neil Danzig and Robert Brody, they conclude just the opposite, that Elder Hadani got some of it from he got it from the Galenum sources, but that's a different story. Now it seems that. For all the years, even after the Rishayim, Elder Hadani's story was believed. Even the cynical, even the Mari Naim or Bezayim Adayim, who in general is cynical, he seems to buy the story of Elder Hadani on some levels. Ranash Ben Yisrael also goes as a plain and simple That is true. In Leopold Zunz, you know, the father, one of the fathers of the Jewish Wissenschaft, he felt that it is not a real sefer. The mention of Rametzkin spent a lot of time on it. Felt that there is a lot of truth in the sefer. What does that mean? He felt, just to conclude with this, he felt that there is many similarities, and from this he wrote a whole sefer, also which is in the collection of the Svarim mentioned from Isaac Cook. That there's many similarities between the Ethiopians and Elder Hadani's work. He proves it throughout the work. He has a whole nice list of sources to prove. Now all this, just to conclude with this, has a nafkamina lahalacha. What the nafkamina lahalacha? The famous discussion, which was Nageya, which became relevant recently, which was relevant in the time of Ravaz, which is the Ethiopian Jews, what is their status as Jews? Do they have Simon Geyer? Could they marry? Ravaz already wrote a whole tshuva where he, it seems he held that they are Jews. Now, this is because the Sefer Elder Hadani, in the story of Ethiopian Jews, that they are claiming that they're from Shevet Dan, and there is truth to that, according to the Ravaz. Similar even today, there are various Paiskim that do hold that they are Jews. This whole topic of the black, I guess the Ethiopian black Jew, was dealt with by Rabbi J.D. Bleich in his first volume of Contemporary Halacha Problems. And so therefore we see that this whole story of Elder Hadani has some, you know, it's not only a legend, it's not only, it even played a role somewhat, a little, in Halacha. As I mentioned in about Shkita, and also for the halachic status of the black Jews. Hopefully next week, just a little bit about the Aseres HaShvatim and a little bit about the Sambatyon, and then to move on to the next topic that in the Simchas HaNefesh. Once again, thank you so much for joining. I'm very sorry about the delays in the beginning. Not sure, there's some people got an email, I'm not sure why, but that it's 5 minutes. Starting 5 minutes later. But that's that. Okay. Any questions? Feel free to email me at eliezerbrot@gmail.com. Thank you once again for coming.